Oh, the audience. We're good. I'm good. And tag five people and say Merry Christmas. You have to do that, right? High five. Tag. Oh, man. You guys, seriously, we are trying so many new things today. We're on Facebook Live today. We're on YouTube. We're on UFace. We're on FaceTube. We're on whatever the heck it is. We've got all kinds of things we're trying out today. We're trying some new things. So we might have some audience and some people who aren't here today. Because it's Christmas, we will smite them later. Just let them know that that's it. But today, really, 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 I'm not going to take but an hour and a half of your time for this message that I've prepared, since we're all here as a family, and we're excited. I'm just kidding. I'm excited. I have a family. I'm going to take as little time as I want, as you want, as I want, as God wants. Today, as we get ready for communion, and seriously, all I want us to do today is just celebrate. Celebrate what this is all about. We just saw in the beginning, it's about God being with us. That's the whole point of this year. It's the whole point of this time of year, is God being with us. And so, we're going to celebrate Christmas today. At the end, we're going to take communion, because that's the whole reason we get to be here. And so, we're going to have some videos explaining that, so that it's not too convoluted and not too deep, so that we can understand while we take communion at the end. So, I'm literally just going to read some scripture today, go through 17 points. And then, tough crowd. It's just like a Sunday. We're good. Seriously, we're going to get this going. So I'm literally probably hiding behind here, because I want to make sure that you can have scripture. We're going to go through a few things. What we've had over this past season, it's been really crazy. We went through the Ghost of Christmas Past, and we put a bow on that last week, and it was really fun, because we talked about how we have to forgive others, forgive ourselves. And we talked about getting over our shame. We talked about getting over our labels. We talked about how we can have peace and joy this year. And if we haven't seen that, then go back and you can check on our Facebook page, or you can check back on our website. But I believe if we live that out, it's really great, the peace and joy that we have. So I'm going to go back to one of those scriptures. And I just want to read to you from Exodus 13, because we're talking about communion. We're talking about Passover. We're talking about the Savior and the Messiah coming. That's what this year is all about. Emmanuel, God with us. And for thousands of years, people heard that God was with us, and God was going to be here for all people, not just God's chosen people. And God's chosen people heard for thousands of years, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. And he came, and they didn't believe he was who he says he was when he got here. So they might have missed out on the celebration, but today we can be different. Today we can celebrate. So, if you got your Bible, I'm going to be going all over the place, so you can follow me on screen. I'm going to be in Exodus to begin, and then we'll end up in Luke with the famous story that we all know. I forgot my blanket, so I can be Linus, but I will read for it. So, Exodus 13, verse 1 and 2, if you're following on screen, says this. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal." Verse 11 through 16 goes on to say, "After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your ancestors, you are to give over to the Lord the first offspring of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord, redeemed with a lamb, every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In the days to come, when your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' say to him, 'With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed the firstborn of both people and animals in Egypt. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male of offspring of every womb, and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand.'" So today we're going to take our firstborn sons, and I'm just kidding, that would have been really crazy, right? So today, as we're looking at this and we're talking about the firstborn sons, we have to understand that when it comes to communion. Because we can either be sacrificed or redeemed. We're either living a life where we're clean or unclean. It says that the donkeys had to have something, had to have a lamb sacrificed for it to be redeemed, for it to continue on its life. Otherwise, it had a broken neck. It was broken. Right? And so today we get to celebrate not being broken if we're redeemed by the Lamb that is Jesus Christ. And the whole reason he came was so that we could be redeemed. So today I want us to have that mindset as we go into communion, is for each and every one of us, we got to remember that. So we're talking about Passover in a minute, and we're going to have a cool video to make sure that it makes sense. But we're going to go through that, and I want us to know that God was saying in Exodus when he brought his people out of Egypt, I will rescue my people from the slavery of sin. I will rescue them, and I will find a way for them to be redeemed. And so today, we get to celebrate being redeemed if we're in Christ. If not, we're zombies with broken necks. We're like the donkey. We're broken. We think we have hope, but we don't have hope. We're just walking around without being redeemed. And this time of year, we get to celebrate being redeemed. And so that's what today is all about. So, if you have your Bible, we're doing sword drills. We're going to Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 11. That's going to be a tough one. It's almost at the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah 9 talks about this, verses 9 through 11. And it should be on the screen so that you can see it. And it says this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." A donkey. He's riding on a donkey, guys. Remember what a donkey had to have? It had to be redeemed. And the Lamb was riding on a donkey. Tell me that everything in the Bible doesn't point to Jesus being the Messiah, being the redeemed for us. "On a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken." Will be broken. "He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free you. I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit." Doesn't that sound exciting? The waterless pit. I mean, I feel like Christmas is a waterless pit sometimes. We keep drowning in everything to do and all the gifts, all the parties, all the things that's going on. If we had candlelights today, like I had planned, we'd all be drowning because these sprinklers would be going off right now, and you would feel like a waterless pit. But we all can feel like we're in a waterless pit, right? And the peace and joy that comes from Jesus being here, we can miss out on, because we miss that he is the one who set us free. And so this time of year, what sets us apart is our friends and family see us stressed out. They see us losing our minds, but they get to see hope in us. They get to see love in us, and they get to see a difference in us that others can't see. And so what we're about to celebrate here in a minute is the coming of the king. It says he's riding a donkey. I don't know if you remember, as we get into Easter, the king on Palm Sunday rode in on a donkey. Isn't it funny that the Old Testament points to the donkey as being the unclean animal? The donkey is something that had to be sacrificed for. What I want to tell you and remind you is what we talked about a few weeks. We're all donkeys. Take that how you want to. We're born donkeys into sin, needing something to be sacrificed for us to be redeemed. And it took a lamb to do that. And Jesus is that lamb. So let's go on. We're going to read this. I told you I'm not going to take a ton of your time today, because I'm very, very thankful that we get to celebrate as a family. Because we just don't get to do that much, guys. I know that we are in separate spaces, and I believe in our Vine Kids program to have Jesus on their level. But I also know there's just something about us gathering as a family. Because that's what Christmas is about, right? Being part of a family. Not being in the waterless pit. Sometimes my message can be in the waterless pit, right? Like right now, I feel like I'm in the waterless pit. There's some smiles. Let's work this side of the room. Okay, we're good. We're good. Okay, it's the famous one. See, it's contagious. It's everybody sit. Healing. Healing and blessing. All right, so Luke 2. Here we go. We're almost done. Really. We're only got 17 more. I really don't have a ton of you. Luke 2. Here we go. I used to have this memorized, but I'm going to read it from here so I don't screw you up. Luke 2, verse 1 through 20. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken for the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town and registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were excited and partied. No, they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those whom favor rests." When the angel had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told. So here we are. It's Christmas. These shepherds are excited. They're trying to figure out what the heck these angels are talking about. And they remember that something was coming to unite all. Because there are two things that are united in the world. Brokenness and redeemed. That's it. Sin doesn't care about race, religion, color, creed, birthright, bank account, gifting. It doesn't care about any of that. It unites all. Because we're all born into it. And then we get divided into kingdoms about what we think of sin and how we can work to do things right and who God is. And we get confused and we get all caught up in what Christmas is and it's who's got the best gift, who's got the best toys, who's got the best everything. And this time of year, that's what we can be stuck with, is we're afraid to see what God has for us. We're afraid because we think we've got to, my kids don't love me if I don't get the right gift for them. My friends don't love me if I don't get the right gift for them. The people in my life don't love me if I don't get the right gift for them. Or if I don't show up to this thing, or I don't go do this thing, it's not going to work out. Don't we all feel that? Isn't that what Christmas feels like? But is that why a Savior was born? He wasn't born for us to have that. He was born to break the yoke of sin around us. Because he knows that we need to be redeemed. And the only way that happens is it took something to unite all of us in peace and joy. And the only way that can happen is if a sacrifice occurred. So those of us that need to be redeemed have a sacrifice for us, and that is Jesus Christ, the firstborn. So as we celebrate this year, we've got to remember there are two types of people in the world. That's it. Broken and redeemed. Clean and unclean. And so this time of the year, those of us that are redeemed have to set apart something different. We get to show peace and joy. We get to show love. We get to show who Jesus is. And the hardest part is, in the waterless pit that can be Christmas, we can get confused. And so what I want for us as we get ready for communion is, I'm trying to explain to you Christmas, but seriously, there's nothing more clear than the Word of God about who Jesus is, the firstborn Son, the Lamb of God. He is the thing that redeems us. The thing is, we just have to trust He is who He says He is. So, we've got this quick 5-minute video so that you can see what Passover is truly all about. So check this out, and we're almost done.
God's story, Passover. So part of God's story is about Passover, and it goes like this. It all started when Israel was stuck as slaves in Egypt. They were forced to work in fields and make bricks and mortar. Worse, the ruler of Egypt, Pharaoh, and the other people in charge didn't care if God's anger was hot or tired or hungry or sad or hurt or just plain miserable. And they were. But even in the middle of all that, God's people grew. In fact, they got so big that Pharaoh was scared they might attack and overpower him. He made them work even harder to show them he was boss. Soon the Israelites were even more miserable. They begged God for help. Well, guess what? God saw what Pharaoh was doing to his family, and he didn't like it one bit. So he planned a rescue. He sent a man named Moses to lead God's family out of Egypt and into a brand new, beautiful home called the Promised Land. But when Moses told Pharaoh to let God's family leave, Pharaoh said no. Remember, Pharaoh thought he was the boss. The thing is, God is really in control, and even rulers of countries should obey him. So one that would wipe out the oldest son in every house in Egypt. But of course, God had a special plan for his family. He told them to take their best lamb or young goat, kill it, and paint the blood on the doorframe. Then they should eat the meat with bitter herbs and some flat bread made without yeast called unleavened bread, which is cheap and can be made quickly. In fact, God asked his family to eat the whole meal as if they were ready to run right out the door, with their shoes on and their walking sticks in hand. They obeyed. Good thing, too, because that very night, the angel of death came. But just like God promised, he passed over the houses with blood on the door. Finally, Pharaoh realized God was in charge, and that God loved his family, and that Pharaoh couldn't stop God's rescue plan. He said God's family should get far away from Egypt. They left in a hurry. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years after that, God's family celebrated the night God rescued them by eating unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and lamb. But that rescue was just a preview to the big rescue God had planned for the whole world. Remember, the ruler of this world, the devil, wants us to work for him and live bitter, sad lives, separated from God. And we all do wrong things sometimes and deserve to die as punishment. So God sent his very own son to earth. He lived the perfect life we should have lived and died the awful death we should have died. But 3 days after he died, Jesus came back to life. That means he got rid of death and it can't separate us from God anymore. And you know what? Right before Jesus died, he celebrated Passover one last time, but without the lamb. See, Jesus showed us that he is our lamb. And just like the lambs died so that the sons could stay with their families, Jesus died so that we can be part of God's family. One day, he'll recreate a perfect home for us, and it'll be even better than we're promising. And that's the story of Passover. So in case you missed it, here's the quick version. God's family was miserable. They begged God for help. God planned a rescue. Pharaoh said no. God showed his power. The oldest sons had to die. Lambs took their place. God rescued his family. They celebrated Passover. Death was our punishment too. God sent his son. He took our place. God rescued us. And that's a part of God's story.
Man, if I could have just had that video the whole time, right? You're just like, man, could have just shot that and I spoke the whole time. But, you know, my big mouth. So, here's what I have for us. As we get ready to take communion, I want us to have that mindset. To remember that we celebrate being redeemed. That's what this is about. And the thing is, Christmas is a time of giving. God gave his son. We've talked about this. The verb in the Bible is give. Love describes the action. Why he did it. But God gave his son. He gave a gift. And here's the crazy thing. Did you know that Jesus wants something from you? Did you know that? There are three things, three gifts that you can give Jesus today that maybe you haven't given him. Maybe you haven't. And I just want to talk to you about that. Because before we celebrate communion, we celebrate being redeemed. And we have to talk about what does being redeemed mean. And there are three things that you can give Jesus this Christmas that maybe you haven't yet. The first thing is your trust. You can give Jesus your trust. How do you do that? You give him your heart. You have trust and have faith that he is who he says he is. He is the lamb. He is the sacrifice. You trust that that is who he is. You give him your heart through that by making him number one in your life. You say, hey, Jesus, you're Lord of all. You're not just Lord of Sunday. You're not just Lord of Monday. You're not just Lord of Christmas. You're not just Lord of Easter. You're not just Lord of Wednesday because I can't get through it. And you're not just Lord of Monday because it's a crazy day and Mondays are terrible, right? But this year, Christmas is on Monday. Hey, so you can give Jesus your trust. You can give him your heart. And the third thing that only you can give is literally making him number one in your life. So the three gifts that you can give Jesus today that you may not have ever given him are those things. Because here's the thing about Jesus. He'll never force it. He'll never force you to follow him. He leaves an open gift. He puts a gift under the tree for you to open when you're ready. He's not going to tell you, you have to do this. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants you to be redeemed. But the thing is, you've got to accept the gift. And the way that you accept the gift is this, is giving him your trust, your heart, and making him number one in your life. Because here's the thing, all of us, as the video showed, all of us were in need of rescue. And something had to be sacrificed for it. Because we deserve death. We deserve to have our neck broken like the little donkey. We deserve that. But Jesus lived the life he lived and died the death he died so that we could be set free. So before we take communion, I just want to open that opportunity up for us. So we do this each and every week. And I just want you to examine yourself and say, have I given those three things to Jesus? Have I given him my trust? Have I given him my heart? And have I made him number one in my life? And if I haven't, I want you to, if the door's knocking, your heart's pounding out of your chest, you've never done that, I want you to be able to do that today. I want you to nail that down. I want you to be in a place that this Christmas you finally open the gift that is salvation. That's what I want for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed here, I'm going to do what we do every week. It's not the words of this prayer that gets you saved. It's literally trusting that Jesus is who he says he is, giving him your heart, and making him number one in your life. So if everyone will repeat after me for the benefit of those who are coming to Jesus for the first time, this simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. Separated from you. I believe you died on the cross so that I could be redeemed. But love me enough not to stay dead, but left an empty tomb so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you step by step, the best way I know how, the rest of my life. I give you my trust. I make you number one. And I give you my heart. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's the first time that you can say that you have opened the gift of salvation in your life and you have given Jesus those three things, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to ask you, don't worry about who's around. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If that's you, lift them up. Raise them up. If that's you. Awesome. Awesome. You can put your hand down. And for the rest of us, I'm going to go ahead and have you look up before we take communion. For the rest of us, here's what I want to say before we take this. This is a sacrament. It's something that's awesome. But maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus. It's okay. I'm not going to tell you you can't take communion. I'm going to say if you have questions about it even more, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. I'd love for you to talk with your parents if you do. I don't want this plate to pass by you and you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't take this. Take it and talk with your parents about it and what it means. Because this isn't your salvation. This is a celebration of your salvation. Okay? So if that's you, we're about to pass these things out. We're going to take that and we're going to take communion and celebrate the Lamb coming for us. On this Christmas Day, this Christmas Eve day, whatever, it's Christmas Day somewhere, right? Somewhere around the world is Christmas Day. Yeah, right? Somewhere it is. So, I'm going to pass the elements out, and we're going to walk through it, and then we're going to sing one last song, and then I'm going to really do the message, just like 17 points, okay? So, I'm going to pray for that, and I'm going to say, examine ourselves, and then we're going to do this thing. So, Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity to celebrate you and celebrate our redemption in you, because you are our redemption plan. There's nothing we could do. There's nothing we could say. There's nothing that, no ladder we could climb to get closer to you. So you came down to us. And this time of year represents God with us. Because you came down here. You lived the life that none of us could live and died the death that every one of us deserved so that we could be free. So this year, as we celebrate peace and joy that comes from you alone, let us just lift your name high in this moment of celebration, in this moment of Passover, in this moment of communion, because what this represents is our covenant with you, and that is that you came to create the new covenant so that we could be free. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for family. We thank you for church. We thank you for each other. But more importantly, we thank you for your salvation of us. It's your name we pray. Amen. You just want to take one and pass it. We're going to go around the sides. And they have lids. No mess. How great is that? It's got bread and juice, guys, so don't flip out of line. It's a good time. I baked the bread all night last night. It was real crazy. Don't judge me. so here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to read from Luke 22. It's a short version of this, of communion. And we're just going to take communion, and we're going to celebrate what it represents. Okay? So, it says this in Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. If you want to go ahead and open your top one, we're going to try this together. I didn't practice. To get your bread out. So there's two layers. You got the bread. What you think? We getting it? I'm chewing the golf rod. Don't judge me. And he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." All right. Everybody good? Got a little taste? Perfect. We'll collect these afterwards. But here's what I want to tell you, because you know how I roll. I really do have a message afterwards. It's not going to take long. Seriously, about 45, 51 minutes will be good. The last gift that Jesus wants from you this Christmas, that you may not have given him yet, is you might have given him your heart, you might have made him number one in your life, and you might have given him your faith, but the last thing he wants more than anything is to grow his family. And all of us that are part of the family have something that we can share with others that they don't have, and that is the gift of salvation. See, the cool thing about this gift is it was never meant to be kept. It was always meant to be shared. And where we can get caught up this time of year is we don't share it. We forget that this gift was given to us so that we could share, that it wasn't just us that was spared, but everyone was spared by Jesus. So, here's the thing, and the fourth gift that I'm going to ask you to give Jesus if you've given him those three things. Grow his family. That means we invite and invest. We see our friends around us who may not know who Jesus is, and we bring them here. Not next week. We'll be streaming online. But we bring them here. You can come to my house. I'll give you my address. We'll be here each and every week. And the whole reason we do what we do is to lift Jesus' name high. We don't come here because we've got a great TV. We don't come here because we've got a great speaker or great music, because we do, or sometimes the pastor's okay. We don't come here for that. We come here to lift Jesus' name high, to celebrate giving him those three gifts by receiving his gift of salvation and sharing it with the world. So I'm going to ask you, as we go into this year, right now some names are popping in your head. Put them in your phone. Put them in your phone. Text them today and invite them to watch online next week. Bring them back here on January 7th when we get to come hang out. Don't just let this be a fleeting thought. Don't let it be a feel-good moment where it's, I wrap the gift and it's just like everyone, probably about 2 o'clock tomorrow, depending on when you meet your family, you say, "Well, that's Christmas." You're done. You take the tree down, you're done. The gift that we have to share is everlasting. So I'm going to ask you to share that gift with those around you. So that's what I have for us today as we get to celebrate communion. We're about to sing one more song, Silent Night. And I really did want to have some candles today, but I took a shower this morning and the fire hydrant would have went off. So Trey would have got doused. I know we both need showers, but as we get to celebrate this last song, I'll have some announcements at the end. Think about growing God's family. What is God calling us to do to grow his family today? So let's all stand and worship and sing.
Oh.
remind us, wasn't it fun to get together a little bit? I know we don't have to do this all the time, but wasn't it fun to gather as a family a little bit, have all of our kids together, have all of us together as one? We'll do that every now and again. I'm going to let you know at the Vine, that's what we're called to do. We're going to do that, but we believe in Jesus being taught on our kids' level, and that's the beauty of it, where they have a fun, engaging, safe environment where they can grow, go. Melissa's hair is fun, safe, and engaging right now. So what I have for us is, we're going to do this every now and then so often, but what I have for us today is something that I talk about each and every week before we pray, is I just want to remind us that fourth gift. There is a name that's on your mind. Do everything you can to get him here on January 7th. You know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is invite someone to church. But if there's something that people want to do in the new year, it's to start off fresh. So they're looking to go somewhere. Why not here? Why not here? Why not hang out with you? Why not come and be with us in the gym in the freshly waxed floor that is going to be shiny and beautiful, but more importantly, a family of God gathering together. The other thing that we have going up where we can invite and invest people is the hair of a dog run. I know that sounds really crazy. No, I will not be running. I would be walking if I didn't, or rolling down the hills. However, the hair of the dog run is happening here at the YMCA on January 1st. There's a 1 mile, 5 mile, and a 10 mile, if I remember correctly. We're getting some folks together, and we're going to invite and invest and take advantage of that fourth gift by giving out water bottles to runners in need, maybe tripping some if we feel that we so desperately need to. But we're seriously going to give out water bottles to invite and invest to bring people back here on the 7th. So if you're available for that, we think it's going to be about 8:30 in the morning. We're going to be rocking and rolling, but hopefully we'll be wrapped up by 11. So if you have availability anytime, please, please let me know. Just please reach out to me. Reach out to hello@thevine.tv, tyler.west@thevine.tv, somethingelse@thevine.tv, whatever it is. Reach out to us. We'd love for you to help us hand out bottles, because if not, I'm seriously going to have to be like, Papa, I need some spinach and just do it all myself. Someone will get tripped. I'm just going to let you know. It'll be really bad, and we won't be invited back. And lastly, as we always go through, if it's your first time here hanging out with us, which I feel like I've seen most of the faces, but if it is your first time, and you've not got to come to the garden does not have a sign, but we're in this wonderful green space. So if that's you, you can meet me at the wonderful green space at the back after the service. I'd love to talk with you. If you've got questions about communion, about the thing that we took today, then maybe you just felt like, man, I don't know if I should take this or not, or I don't know what it means, and I need to talk to somebody about it. Meet me in that green space afterwards. Or maybe how you want to grow God's family is how you invest in the local church. And if that's you today and you would like to give, you can go to thevine.tv/give. We can do that online. Or you can meet me over in the wonderful green space called the garden after the message, and I can meet with you and I can make sure that whatever gift you're willing to give, we can make sure we get that turned in. But that's all I have for you today, guys. Merry Christmas. Thank y'all for being here. We're about to lock it up and pray and call it a day. What do you say? So, everybody, you know how we do it. I know we got the littles in the room, so if everybody just locks it up and prays, don't let anybody be praying alone. Now I'll lock it up on the TV here. Don't let anybody be praying alone, and we're going to pray over today and pray over this season. All right, King Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you once again for coming down and meeting us right where we are in the middle of the pit. Because there was no way that we were going to crawl out. And Jesus, what we get to do this year is celebrate that. Not the gifts, not the presents, not the trees. That's awesome. But Jesus, it means nothing without you. And because we have you, Jesus, the beautiful thing is we get to share you with the world. So as we go out and celebrate this Christmas season, we go out and we celebrate these few weeks off from school or work or just pulling our hair out from all the stress. Let us not forget that you came for peace and joy. And let us rest in that because you came. We love you, Jesus. We can't wait to come back here on January the 7th. We can't wait to tune in next week, December 31st, as we stream online. More importantly, Jesus, thank you for being who you are. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas.